Well, I'd appreciate your prayers. I'd like to look at a couple verses of scriptures in Ecclesiastes. 11th chapter. I'll start with the 7th verse. Truly, light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Think of these scriptures, and it makes me think and appreciate the Word of God and the way it deals with our lives. It gets right down to it. And maybe you won't relate this the way I do, unique experiences of my life, but as I look into this, I felt like that it covered the whole spectrum of life. It talks from youth to the grave. All the ideas of the natural life is found, but also the ideas of the spiritual life are found in it too. God has a wonderful way of doing that. He can say something that applies totally to the natural, that applies totally to the spiritual. Well, it's not unusual since the same one made all of it. His fingerprints is on it all. This starts out by saying, truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. That's still true to me. Especially after hard weather or extended bad weather or something like that in the natural. Sometimes I will say it's just so pleasant today to see the sun. It's a joyful thing to see the sun. But it doesn't mean it's the same to me as it used to. A lot of things are really different to me than they used to be. Lynn and I walked past the school out here, just past the school there. There's a beautiful field of white clover there. And the wind was blowing just right till I got a real fragrance off of that white clover. And it be honest with you, immediately when I smelled it, I went back 45 years in my mind. Because where I grew up, the yard was full of white clover. Now, when I was a little boy, I smelled the white clover a lot. Well, and it was because I rolled around in the yard. I was down in the yard. I played on the ground. I was down close to it a lot of times. I smelled it. And I haven't done that for a long time. And it may even seem strange if you would see me doing that. But I don't do that. That phase of my life is long gone. But so aren't some of the pleasantries of it. I don't smell the things I used to. I don't consider them anymore. But every once in a while when I get a little bit of it, I can remember that I did. And you know, it used to be honest with you, the sun isn't the same to me anymore. I've gone on 54 years of it. It's not the same to feel it. I remember when I was young, I remember experiencing it. I mean, it's really stuck with me. The fragrances of flowers, the feel of grass under my bare feet. The what it felt like to be up early in the morning. It don't feel much like anything anymore, like it used to feel like. I can still at times remember the smell of burnt popcorn, just slightly burnt popcorn that is so pleasurable to me, but it isn't like it used to be. It just reminds me of a long time ago, of things that is long, long gone. Maybe you experienced that kind of thing too. But you know what the Lord knows all of these things. And do you know that for every place in life, there is something there that we ought to get a hold of, I think. And I'm thinking today about the word consequence. Consequence. We are all going to deal with the consequences of life. Now, the definition of consequence, that which follows any act, cause, principles, or series of actions. An event or effect produced by some preceding act or cause. Consequence. Do you know that there is a consequence for everything? When I was just a youngster, I cut the tongue out of a leather boot, got me a good leather piece, and then I tied the boot strings on both ends of it, made me a little pouch, David and Goliath style, a sling. And I'd put me a good stone in that, and I'd wound that thing up, and I'd see how accurate I was. I admire those left-handed men that can split a hair's breadth, because it's not easy to guide one of those things. But I had done it, and it was fun, and if you've never done that, you can throw a stone a long ways with a good one. It isn't like your arm. It really gets some speed to it, and you can throw it a long way. Well, I was a little boy, and I got down and got me a rock, and I was blow our house, and I wound that thing. Now, I was fairly accurate if I just give it one good and thrown it in a direction. I was fairly accurate, at least, I say accurate, that it at least went the same quadrant that I threw it in. But this particular time, I'm going to see how far I can throw it, and it was probably 60, 80 yards down to the river, and then a field across the river, and I was going to sing this rock through those treetops over into that field. I wind it up and let it go, and I'm looking to see where it went. I didn't see where it went. I let it go, but I was looking to see where it went, and I heard a crash behind me, and I threw that rock right through our front door window, the window of our front door. I threw it right through there. Now, my dad had replaced the window in that. In the summertime especially, doors would be open, there'd be suction drawn in the house, and the door would be slammed, and they'd break the glass. So my dad went and bought a heavy-duty glass to put in that, and he said, this glass is not going to be broken easily. Now, this glass is going to... Well, it wasn't there very long before I threw that stone through it from down there. There is a consequence. There's a consequence. There's a series of actions that will cause actions. I got a stone, put it in a sling, wound it up, and threw it. That caused a series of things to happen that would have otherwise not happened had I not have thrown that stone. I busted the window out. As soon as it crashed, I heard my mom holler. She was sitting in the living room when the rock come barreling through. There was a series of feelings that I had that was a consequence of that action. I started having feelings. One of them was guilt. One was dread. I started having those emotions. All those things was involved in that. I had to face mom. Then I had to face dad. I had to face the idea that dad had bought a new glass. I had to face all this as a consequence of my actions. The root of consequence is sequence.
Yes, it is, brother.
You realize that? It's consequence. Sequence is, if I say 2, 4, 6, 8. Of course, it's in sequence. 1, 3, 5, 7, 9. I mean, it's sequence. We're in a sequence. There's one thing that follows another. I assume that the days of me rolling around in the grass and smelling the clovers is probably gone. It's probably, but there was a stage for it. But in sequence of life, it comes. It follows it. I don't have the same. But the writer here is expressing, but to realize it, it's a good thing to realize something. It's a good thing to realize that your childhood, for many, is over. Okay? When you start getting up into the teenage years, I say start. I don't put no direct name on it, but probably when you get up into the teenage years, guys, you'll probably quit with the little Hot Wheels. I mean, probably at some point. I mean, I still play with sometimes with my children and all, but you'll probably stop. The girls will probably start handing the dolls maybe a little, maybe hold them a little bit. There'll be a transition because of sequence of life. It can't help from happening. The Lord knows all those things, and it'll happen at some point in time. There's going to be a transformation, and now responsibilities are taking on, and you're going to have to learn what to do with it. And God knows, and He's given us as a statement here that sequence happens, consequence is happening. And I loved what I done, and I got to live in a very special place to me. I got to grow up in Central West Virginia, a very beautiful place with backwoods. I love the woods, the streams, the fields. I got to experience that. I'm glad for it. I had to grow up at some time. I had to take on responsibilities. I can't stay a child. Those things have happened, and it goes right on in life. And I want to tell you something. I had a great childhood. But I had to face some responsibilities in life. And of all the great times that I had, and swinging on grapevines and diving off of cliffs into water and chasing along a river after fish and chasing it had to come to an end. And there's been times that I've had to face real, real hard situations in my life. And you know, the Lord wants us to realize something. It's good to prepare. It's really good to prepare for those things. So He says, truly the light is sweet and pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. What is this days of darkness? The passage in, if you read the first verse of the 12th chapter, He calls it the evil days. Remember the Creator in the days of that youth. Before the evil, what evil days? Is there a prediction here? Could there possibly be something the Lord knows about this sequence that He wants to let us in on? Let us know something about sequence? Well, yeah, there is. There's a consequence. This happens, a sequence of life. You know, I can change how this is, but what I do. I've changed a lot of circumstances in my life by doing something. Either I should do or I shouldn't do. I can change the sequence of what's going to happen in my life. And the evil days that are coming is coming to all of us. I can't do what I used to do. I'm different than I used to be. I can't help some of the things that's happening to me. If I could help them, I would. But I can't help them. They're happening anyway. I can read this passage of Scripture and see where people, the grasshoppers become a problem to people. You know, I've seen grasshoppers be a problem to people. I had the privilege of having a neighbor. We loved her dearly. Her name was Anna Mae Elliott. She lived right across from us, and she lived to be 90-some years old. She took care of herself most of her life, up to even old. She was able to do her yard work. She was able. But you know, when she started till she couldn't do the simple little things that she used to do, she was a case. She would worry about the leaves falling off the trees. She would absolutely worry about it. Oh, I don't. Because she couldn't rake them up anymore. Well, what's she going to do with it? They become enormous to you if you don't rake them up. She couldn't rake them up anymore. She had a limb fall out of her at one of her trees into her driveway. That I could take it one hand and spin it around. It was no, you wouldn't have won a drove over it. You got it stuck on the car. It worried her. She called me and said, "Oh, the tree, a limb fell out of the tree," and she couldn't hardly handle it because she couldn't move it. And now she's stuck. And I look and think, what is, it's evil day coming. You know, we really ought to remember, for a lot of reasons, we ought to remember that it's coming to us too. I've had people actually thank me for coming and see them at the nursing homes. You know what my response is? I hope I get paid back. That's what I mean. I hope I get paid back. I ain't gonna see me on the same road you're on, brother. I might be at a time somewhere. I wish just somebody would come visit me. Lonely in here. Just kind of in here with just myself. The evil days is coming. I'm going to say this. We need God to help us in those kind of places. We need the Lord. So in all of this, we should remember the sequence of life. And what's happening to life, the consequences, and how we change that sequence in many ways. We can't help the physical part going, but we can help the consequences of what happened. Do you know I can make it so bad on my family, they don't want to come see me. And if you don't think that's true, I can show you people that their family don't go see them. Why? Because they've ruined any chance of a relationship that they had. And they told that, and there is a consequence to that. There is a sequence to that that can't be stopped. But we can change that if we change what we're doing. Lord, help us. He says here, rejoice, young man, in thy youth. I say, young person, today. Rejoice. Well, you should. Rejoice. This is your time of smelling the flowers, to experience things that's long gone to me. This is your time to experience life. But I want you to note the attitude of the writer here, because this is pretty remarkable. He says, rejoice in your youth, young man. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk in the ways of thy heart. Whatever you ask, do it. Young man, you're young. An old man don't chase around. A young man don't do things like that. A young man don't seek pleasure. An old man don't, I mean. Young man, he's saying, this sounds like the wrong advice to me for just a little bit. Follow your heart. If it feels good, do it. An old song when I was growing up is, young hearts, be free tonight. Time is on your side, it's on your side, it's on your side. It's a lie, but pursue, you're young. If you don't do it when you're young, when will you do it? Pursue it when you're young. Find thrills. Find things in life. Follow your flesh. Fill your heart. Whatever your eye does, it looks good. If it feels good, do it. Sounds like advice here to me. Do all those things. But then he adds something that is so crucial. To the sequence. See, if you do, in everything that you do, young person, in everything that you do, you may say, I'm young, it's a time for music. It's a time to express. You know, it's always been that way. The music world plays to the young people. It's a fact. I know they get stuck and it's old people too, but actually the modern stuff is for young people. When you get them, you've got the market. Okay? We get the young people. It's a time for it. So you may think, it's a time for me to express, to be able to listen to my type of music. Follow your heart. Listen to the music you want to. But whatever it is. No matter what, follow that. But know this in the sequence, young man. you're going to have to give an account to God. You can do anything you want. Isn't it true, though? I mean, isn't it absolutely true? You may say, I want to experience it for myself. I'm not going to take Dad and Mom's word for it. I'm not going to take the church. I'm not going to take your word for it. I want it for myself. Okay. You can say, I'm going to follow it for it. But you're going to have to realize it is crucial that there's consequence. There's sequence. You can't do it and not pay for it. There's no way. You will pay for it if you do it. And the writer then says, and in the sight of thy eyes, but know thou that for all these things, whatever you decide to do, remember this, God will bring thee into judgment. Don't ever leave out of the sequence of 2, 4, 6, 8. Don't leave out the idea that every man's life and every sequence of events, there's God will bring you into judgment. So it's like, go ahead, do, live, pursue, follow. But you better judge everything that you do by the idea that God's going to bring it into judgment. Because it's the reality of life. And I can go and say all these things. Well, it ain't worth pursuing all these things. The strongest point that I think that can be made about it is that in the sequence of our existence, you'll have to know that God will bring you into judgment for it. I may decide that it's fun to do something in this life. I may decide that it's what is a thrill to me to do. I may decide to do that. But if I do that, I'm going to have to realize that there is consequences in this life for it. Not, I'm saying in this life. I think this scripture is remarkable in the idea that it takes care of the evil days and the eternal days. It's taking care of all of it in this sequence that we deal with. If I decide to leave the saints, if I decide not to follow this way of holiness, if I decide to do that, can anyone in here tell me what the path of that will be? Well, there's enough sequence in past lives to pretty well figure what that sequence is going to be. If I decide to pursue certain things, you can look and almost guarantee what the sequence of my family's life is going to be. Then the consequences of what I do laid on them in the way they live their life and what they hold valuable. I can say so many things. Do you know in simple, I like to get down to the simple things of life. I make the simplest statement to my family that I can make without words. Every time we have service at home, at all possible, I get ready and go. It suggests to their minds that I think it's valuable. Of course, I have so much stuff that I can do that I quit in time to get a shower, get cleaned up, get ready to go. I prepare. And because I'm saying these other things are valuable to me, I like doing this. I like doing this. I need to do this. And I stop it short and I go get ready and I go to service. That is a part of a sequence that's going to have a consequence. On the same part, I can say, I need to go ahead and get this done. Now listen, I ain't putting anybody in bondage to what you have to do. I'm just telling you, there is sequence and consequence in life that we'll all have to follow. And he says to the young man, and I think it pertains to all of our lives, no matter where we're at, whatever you really want to do, you can do it. If you think there's going to be a lightning strike or a thunderbolt to keep you from it, you're probably going to be mistaken. God's going to let you do it. And then you're going to have a sequence of events that follows that act or deed that you've done. And you're not going to be able to manipulate it either. It's going to follow a true course. And it's called a consequence of an action. And you can't get by or get around it. It happens over and over again and again and again. You may say there's nothing wrong with just this. It always starts out in a little thing. An uncle of mine said to my grandmother one time, said, Mom, you can't tell me that there's anything wrong with me taking one drink, meaning an alcoholic drink. My grandmother said, well, I may not be able to, but I never know anybody that took two drinks before they took one. Truth. Everything you may said, I can handle this or I can handle that. But what is the consequence of those actions in a sequence of events that you can't control? Lord, help us. We should face everything we do, every decision we make, with what the Bible says is the end of the sequence. You can't get a right, you can't get the equation right if you don't have all the components to it. The last component of this is that God's going to bring it all into judgment. I asked this question of myself. I ask it of you. If you could answer this question. What do you want in this life? I mean, that's a pretty simple question. What do you want out of this life? What do you want? And how can you get it? Or I say this. What do you want for your eternal life? So simple question. What do you want for it? Because the sequences are going to have to line up to be able to get the answer to that. You can't go playing with fire and not get burned. You can't go play. My mom used to tell me, I remember we go over to my aunt's house and she lived right along Elk River. And I loved the river. I loved the river. And if my mom told me, I don't want you getting wet, the best thing I could do is stay completely away from that river. Because if I went down there and said, Mom don't want me to get wet, so all I got to do is not get wet. That don't mean I can't jump rocks. So I could start jumping rocks and oops, ka-splash. And now I'm wet and coming back and saying to Mom, it was an accident. My mom wouldn't buy it. I said, just not get wet. That means you stay away from where the water's at. The same thing holds. Many times people live those kind of ways and say, I never intended to be. I never intended that this happened. I never intended to lose that relationship. I never intended for my family to be. I never intended that. You know, there's a safeguard against all that. And really, when it comes down to it, is I thank God. I really thank God that I can fulfill these scriptures when I have the Lord change my heart towards them. Do you know that these scriptures here, I'm going to list, rejoice, young man, in thy youth, and let the heart cheer thee all the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart. Do you know I can walk in the ways of my heart? I've done it for a long time. I'm here at Guthrie. My heart's here at Guthrie. I really wanted to come to Guthrie. I fulfilled what my heart's desire was. What's old song say? I go where I want to. I do whatever I please. I'm pretty free, ain't I? I'm free enough. I want to tell you, I'm free enough that I can follow the ways of my heart and in the sight of my eyes. I can get whatever I want to when I'm looking at the right thing. The Lord don't withhold those things from me that I want when it's right things. When I look and say, I want to be more like they are because they're holy, not because they're well. I want to be more holy. I want to be more like God. I want that. God won't withhold that. I can follow those ways. But know this, in all that you do in life at the end of it, it's going to be brought into judgment. What a fearful, fearful thought to think of, that the decisions that we make have a consequence to them, everyone. The sequence of events, I'm going to tell you, as surely as we are born a baby, need care of a parent, or a toddler, as surely as we need to learn to walk and learn our schooling, as surely as we need to learn those things and go on, mature into adolescence, as surely as we got to get and grow into an adult, and as surely as we take on and on to all the way through life, is as sure as we're going to meet judgment. That is put in the equation of a man's life. And in that, also in that spirit, as surely as it runs that course, so also the spiritual realm is a series of consequences. If you don't give the Lord your heart totally, I mean, look at the sequence. You know, we live in a world made by a God of sequence. You don't look at it. Look at the seasons. I said before, and I mean, could you imagine if God would have been a haphazard God? Now think about this. This is already June in Oklahoma. It's going to get warmer out here. Okay? But what if you didn't know there was no order to it, and you didn't know that it wasn't going to be 2 foot of snow tomorrow out here? That would be a hard thing to do, wouldn't it? It would be really hard to do. Or what about, I wouldn't like to have a corn patch, but I don't know whether the corn's going to come out of these seeds or cucumbers. And you can plant, so one seed fits all. You don't know what it is, you just plant it. It comes up anyway. It doesn't follow any pattern or any way. What if it was like that? What if there was no day and night cycle? What if there could be 3 nights in a row? 2 days in a row? 5 days in a row? 3 nights? 2 days? You could not. You know, we live in an ordered God. The children of Israel had an order. When the Lord was delivering them out of Egypt, the Lord had an order. He dealt with them there. You know, it wasn't just for the Egyptians that the plagues came. It was to show Israel who God was. He had an order to bringing them out. He had an order to get them where they was going. That all was set in an order. They messed the order up. But God still had an order and a plan for that. You know, in our lives, God has an order and a place for us to come to spiritual places. And what's the consequence of not doing it? What's the consequences when the Lord brings to your heart that you need something? What's the consequence of not doing it? You know, many people get in their mind that I really want to be saved, but I don't want to now. Now, I've pondered that idea a lot. That's not a good idea. This is why. Because you don't really control what you think you control. You may say today, in the sincerity of your heart, I would like to be saved someday. But if you follow the wrong sequences, you won't feel that way. You won't feel that way. It isn't that the fact that the Lord can't forgive you or save you. It isn't the fact that God isn't there and loves you. The fact of it is you no longer have the capacity for God to deal with you. But you may say, I'm going to get saved before I die. But if you get in the sequences of sin, you may erase out of your heart the desire to be saved. You may not even believe in salvation by the time you get up to that point. Who knows what that is? There is a line of sequence in life, in all of life. And it causes a fair consequence. And there is consequences that we ought to have to look at in life. It is amazing reading the scripture and knowing that they're true. They witness to me because I believe in the Word of God. They also witness to me because I've experienced life enough that it makes sense to me. I see it many times. To think of David. Think of David. David was a man after God's own heart. David was a man God worked with. He killed a lion and a bear with his own hand. That's amazing. He gave God the credit. Knew it was the Lord. He come up and faced a giant. And God delivered him. And God blessed him and honored him and helped him in life. What happened to you, David? You can read about it. But there was a time he's supposed to be off when kings, the time of year when kings are at battle, and David's in his house. And what you doing, David? What you doing? I'm going to tell you, there's a sequence of events about to happen, David. And you're going to have a consequence at the end of it. And don't you know, David, that God is going to judge every man? Oh, that if David could have had that overwhelming in his heart the day that he looked off his balcony, off the roof of his house, That if it had run true in his heart, that every young man, every bit of your works are going to be brought into judgment, maybe he would have run. But he didn't. Look at the sequence. Do you know he lusted first? He longed. Well, no, I'm going to back up. He was slothful first. He was indifferent first. He was out of his duty first. He gave up on something first. And he got into a place that he was in a place that wasn't blessed of God. He wasn't under the umbrella. He wasn't protected. He wasn't gifted. He wasn't inspired. It'd be a very different story. We heard this morning. It'd be a very different story if the scripture said, and David was in his room composing a new song for the Lord. And the inspiration of the Lord fell on him. And he walks out on his rooftop. And he falls for that. No way. It don't work that way. He was weak and not given to the place. And has anybody been in a place like that? I imagine. And he goes out, and then the sequence of events starts happening. Who is this? Go get her. I'm king. Pride looked out. Go this. And then I ain't even gonna say it. You know what the story is. And a line of sequences that happened right down until here comes Nathan the prophet. Don't you know that that's the mercy of God? Here comes Nathan. It's sequenced, though. The sequence. I'm going to tell you, David didn't get out of that as cheap as we might think. David was restored because he repented and found the grace of God, the love of God. I'm going to tell you, that cost David. Sin has to cost you. And consequences of it are high. He lost a child because of it. He lost dignity and honor because of it. He lost respect because of it. The scripture doesn't say all this in a sense, but it don't have to for me to know the hearts of people. Would you trust David after that? Be hard. It'd be hard. He'd have to be restored through God to do it. It cost him, folks, and it cost him a lot. The sequence of life cost him. Oh, if he could have been a young man that would have realized at the beginning, do you know I can do this? He might say, yeah, I can do that. I can chase somebody else's wife. I can do all these things. I can get in a place, no matter. I can get in that place. But I'm going to know this. God's going to bring it into judgment. That's a part, folks, that we should never forget about. There was another man. This happens all through the Bible. How? There was a man named Achan. Remember this guy? Now, the whole story is this. I mean, you have to go back and get some sequence of the events here. I'm assuming Achan's one of them that come across when the priests, they come up and step in the water in the Jordan, and they go over into the land of Canaan. I guess he's one of the children of Israel, isn't he? And he goes across there, and they come up to a city called Jericho. I'm assuming Achan was in on that. Well, he doesn't say he wasn't. I mean, he says they always done it. So he actually sees the work of God. I mean, I think it would be pretty impressive to have saw that, experienced that, lived that. Praise the Lord. The Lord made the walls fall down. And how the Lord did it, wonderful thing. What's this dude doing? Grabbing up the stuff right there at that moment. It sounds like it just happened. But what's he doing? I mean, are you not impressed enough with the work of God to be at least awed for a couple minutes before you start grabbing this stuff? I mean, take some time to lose out. I can do whatever I want to. Nobody will know. I can get this stuff, young man. If you want to steal somebody's stuff, you can. If people does well, you just do it. But know this. You're going to have to face judgment. You better put that in the sequence of your life. Because, folks, it's there. In the sequence of life, it is there. And you know the story of Achan? It's an amazing story because it always baffled me that when was he going to wear that stuff? I mean, it's not like you take something like that and, I mean, what good does it do? You know, come on, we all know you get something new or something like that. You want to show everybody. That's the value. If you can't show anybody, what's it worth? He took his stuff. He took some silver or whatever, the Lord's stuff. He took a Babylonian guard, which is a cursed thing, and he took those things, and I never did see the reason for it. It doesn't need a reason for it. When you want it in your heart, you have to have it. I can't make sense out of tattoos and piercings. I can't make sense about a lot of this stuff that people do. I'm just going to say this. You can do it, but you're going to have to tell God why you done it. And you'll have to tell me why you done it, but there'll be a day that you'll tell the Lord why you marked up your body. There'll be a time that you'll have to tell the Lord why you stole your neighbor's stuff. There'll be a time that you're going to have to tell the Lord why you got involved in drink to start with and alcohol and smoke and whatever. You're going to have to tell the Lord that. And you're going to have to tell the Lord why you listened to that old music that promoted adultery and fornication and drug use and murder and all that. You're going to have to tell the Lord why you liked it. I ain't saying you can't do it, because the fact of it is, you can. You can do it. You can pursue it all. You just can't keep it out of the sequence of your life. You can't keep it from affecting you. You can't keep from bearing fruit from it. And you can't keep from the day that you have to tell the Lord why. So we could say to everybody, you can do it if you want to. You just can't get away from the results of it. Achan, you can take all that you want to. Hide it in your tent. And you know what? It's amazing about God. I wonder how many thieves sat around and planned the perfect crime and covered every base but one. They forgot somebody was watching them from up there. And you know, God can tell on you if he wants to. And God can make people do something that will get them caught. It's God. I wonder if we only knew how many times the Lord just said, I ain't going to let them by with it. Not in this. Some men's sins are open beforehand. And some go to the judgment. So God lets them by, some people by with it. But in the sequence of life, it will always tell on you. If you're smart enough, slick enough, clever enough, and God lets you by with it, you can fake me out. But it's still going to tell on you at some point or another. And it definitely told on Achan. You know what the end of Achan was? They not only took him, they took all of his stuff, his family and everything that belonged to him, and they destroyed all that. And it's a type, folks. It isn't unmerciful of God. It's a type of what has to be done to it. Yes. That's what it is. You cannot tolerate sin. It has to be destroyed out of life, because it's a part of a sequence that destroys. It corrupts. It hurts. I have no particular Bible for this, but I believe it anyway. I believe that in a good, God-fearing home, there is a protection on that home that when that starts letting down, there'll be things come in truly just through the Spirit. When the devil has rights in a place that he can affect the children, he can affect things in there, I believe in the spiritual world. And I believe things can happen right there simply because a man don't hold what he ought to hold. I believe he can start into things and give himself to activities and things and watching things and doing things that will affect his family only through the Spirit. And they'll be start having problems, and things come into their very life of impurities, and things come in that was brought in by the devil into his life. It is a consequence, and it will be a sequence of events that will happen. Do you know the experts in the field of abuse say many times that the abuser was abused? You know what that is? It's called sequence. It's the consequence of someone. When you take a small child that is too young, now you could come, I would rather you don't, but you could come and beat me down. I mean, literally take and beat me down, and you probably wouldn't break my spirit. You probably couldn't do it that easy. I have a lifelong ability of being able to handle things in life. I've got a God that helps me handle in life. But when you start giving children, little children, things that they aren't big enough to handle, when you start introducing them into adult things, you're doing something terrible to them. You're causing a warpage in them that will go all their life if the Lord don't help them. The sequence is horrible in the what they'll try to find in order to deal with something that they can't deal with too young in their life. It happens all the time in this world. And we see what happens to these people. We see the results of it. You would probably shake and be very surprised to understand why a teenage children would want to take a gun to school and kill everybody. But I'm going to tell you, something is in the sequence of their life that shouldn't have never been there. And they're trying to cope with whatever it was that they can't cope with because they was too young to deal with it. They don't have no mechanisms to do it. And so now it is something that is so warped, so bad, that they only do what they know to do. Up home a couple years ago, it was an amazing story. It was shocked. It shocked the whole place up there. A young girl, high school girl, come up missing. They finally found out that her two high school girlfriends planned it to get her away, and beat her to death. And they beat her to death and dumped her body. And who would have ever thought? You can think of a lot of sadistic people that could have done it. But her two high school girlfriends? What happened inside of them? And did you think it started that night and he just up and said that they was perfect till then? No! There was a sequence of giving in. There was a sequence of following things. Oh, dare I blame the pop culture? Dare I blame the modern? Dare I blame? You know what was insinuated at the end of it? These two girls was having a relationship. The other one found out about it. And they couldn't afford for her to be able to tell it at school. So they had to get rid of her. That was the result of what our world's promoting. There is a sequence to godliness. Thank God. There's a sequence to godliness. And there is a sequence to ungodliness. And there is a consequence to both lifestyles. Heavenly. You can see it. It's obvious in the world. If you open your eyes, you'll see it plainly. Lord, help us. I think of another man in the Bible. Not a lot mentioned about him, but you remember when Naaman with the leprosy and he comes to the prophet to get healed. Remember the whole story of that? There's a little tale of that ain't told us much. At the end of that, you remember when Naaman come, he brought great riches with him. And I'm really admire the man of God. I got God in heaven. What I need your riches for? Riches. Take your riches with you. Don't need your riches. Go and do what you know to do. But you remember what his servant did? Yeah. Well, don't sound like there's... That ain't too bad. I mean, I can see the guy wanting a little... You know, he followed after him and went and said, my master changed his mind. that stuff that she was going to get, well, I'll take it back to him. You think there's consequences? Do you remember what happened? See, Naaman had leprosy. You remember what happened to that leprosy? How it was washed away? You know where it ended up at? There was consequences. Sin always has a bad consequence. The sequence of events. Lord, help us today to realize it. There was another scripture. You can find it, and I won't take the time for it, but you can find it about the 5th of Acts. I think it starts with the first verse. About a man named Ananias and his wife, Sapphira. Another baffling story. For what was the point? Even Peter had that kind of a mind towards it. Well, what was the point? Was it not yours? It was in the day, and they was bringing, all these people was bringing, they were selling their possessions. And it was bringing all of the money of it and bringing it to the apostles. So Ananias and Sapphira has some land and they sell it. And they take the profits of the land and he held part of it back. And they bring the rest of it and give it to them as in pretense, so here's what we sold the land for. But they didn't give it all. They lied. Peter even asked them, say, why did you lie to the whole? Was it not your land? Well, there was no reason to do it. You can give half if you want, quarter if you want. But what you can't do is lie to the Holy Ghost. Maybe the Lord won't strike us dead today for lying to the Holy Ghost or to doing some of those things. But the consequence is no less drastic. They actually, Ananias, remember, fell over dead. He took his life right there. Well, Peter didn't shoot him. God ended his life right there for what he had done. Later, a couple hours later, here comes Sapphira in. Was it true that you sold land for this and this? Yeah, it was true, this and this. Well, the feet of the ones that buried you is coming to bury you too. Oh, where she falls. But there is a very interesting end to this. Why did he do it? Why did the Lord do it? He said that great fear fell upon the church and all them that heard it. There was a necessity at that time in the early morning church to set this thing as serious as it could be set. We don't want pretenders in the church of God. I'll pretend like I'm a doing it. I'll pretend like I get some money. I'll pretend like I'm a singer. I'll pretend like God's blessing me. Oh, praise God, praise God. We all can do it. We can stand up and testify and do all that. But we can lie to the Holy Ghost too. God wants the reality of this. Do you know? Lord, help us. I've never seen anything more disruptive or harmful to the church itself than the hypocrisy that lies within it. There is no outside force that could take it down. The devil can't beat us. But hypocrisy has destroyed many people. Looking on at the hypocrisy of it, and in the early morning church, the Lord didn't put up with it. He said it for sure. You're not going to play around at this time with this. Later, I guess he lets us play around. But he didn't then. But the same fear ought to be upon us. And you know why? Of the sequence. Because I may fake the whole church out and be able to go right on. And maybe I can lay and you all can have a big funeral for me. But know this young man. That he will bring all of it into judgment. At the end of it, it doesn't really matter what all that does. Because I'm going to have to bring it. And I'm going to have to face God with it. I asked the question, David, was it worth it? Was it worth it, David? I think he would have said no. If I was to say to Ananias and Sapphira right now, was it worth it? They'd say no. Judas, for 30 pieces, was it worth it? There's a sequence. There's a consequence. Was it worth it? Was that song worth it? What was that movie worth it? You're going to have to tell the Lord about. Was that lie worth it at the end of it? I'm going to tell you, the sequence of events will catch up with us. There is a consequence. Lord, help us today to realize there is a consequence to everything we do. And there is a consequence. I'm thank the Lord for this. And I'll end right here. But the Lord teaches us in His Scripture how to pray. And He uses this event. There was a man and he was a lack passion as we are. And he prayed. And there was consequence to his prayer. And the Lord sewed up heaven. Because of his prayer, there was consequence to the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. There is sequence involved to it. God will work in sequence. God will make something happen that'll make something happen that'll make something happen. Lord, help us to be encouraged when we see the beginnings of God's work through prayer. It's a sequence many times, a consequence of things. We can pray for our loved ones and God can start making them miserable through life. Yeah. It's consequences of our prayers. Yeah. Everything that we do will have a consequence. You pray for me. I want to be faithful and I want to realize in everything that I do, I'm going to have to tell the Lord about that. Yeah. There may be things as far as what we call the standard of the church that's not clear enough for me to make it. And we'll go and sometimes we'll say, well, I don't know about this, and we'll step into that and the Lord will put His finger on that. And you all don't even know why that I'll say we're done with that, because God put His finger on it. And I know if I ride over that, there's going to be consequences for that. The consequences usually is in my lean soul. It usually is in the fact that I don't feel the way I used to feel and I don't have the desire I once had in the Lord. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.